Kohen 3's Daf Yomi is Me'ila Daf Ches Me'ila 8. And in the previous chapter, we were discussing the laws of Me'ila, which is referring to trespassing or misappropriating the offerings of the temple or the property that belongs to the temple. In the previous chapter, we were talking about the offerings that have become disqualified. However, this chapter, in today's Daf Yomi, we will begin the second chapter of Tractate Me'ila, which is called the chapter of Chatas Ha'Of. We're going to be talking about not disqualified offerings which a person trespasses, but actually valid offerings, and when does the law of Me'ila apply. And so that is what our chapter is discussing. And our first Mishnah discusses the Chatas Ha'Of, the bird offering that is brought as a sin offering, the Chatas Ha'Of. So says our Mishnah, Chatas Ha'Of, if you have to bring this sin offering and you're bringing it from a bird, Molin ba Mishe Hukdasha, that from the moment that it is sanctified, from the time the person designates it orally and says that this is a sin offering, then you are capable of trespassing. So anybody who benefits from it at that point accidentally is going to have to bring the Karban Asham Me'ilos. He has to bring the Karban Asham for trespassing, and he would have to pay back the principal plus one-fifth. And even if he benefited while it was still alive, like for example if he sold it, he's going to have to bring this Karban, because by benefiting from it, he has caused it to lose its sanctity and to become chulin. And continues our Mishnah, Nimlika, once the bird is not slaughtered, it is killed through the process called Malika, which is where the Kohen kills it with his finger from the back of the neck. So once that happens, then in addition to that, the animal, as it says our Mishnah, once it is Nimlika, it has added on holiness, and so therefore we say Hochshara, that it has become kosher, and so therefore it has become prepared lipasal betful yom. So at that point, anybody who has become disqualified and is immersed in the mikveh but the sun is not set is still not able to eat it. And also mechusar kippurim, somebody who had become tamei with ritually impure from one of those tumos that a person has to bring a offering, and only after that they'll become purified, and only then can they eat the from the offerings of the altar. That refers to the four people who are Mechusar Kippurim, the Zav, the Zava, the Mitzora, and the Yoedes. Those four categories of people, they are not able to eat from this animal until they are immersed in the mikveh and brought their korban. And so therefore, that is what we say. It's prohibited also to Mechusar Kippurim at that point. Ubalina, and so too says our Mishnah, that at that point, once it is slaughtered, if its blood was left over, meaning to say that the blood was left there until sunset, it has become disqualified. And also after that, after the blood is sprinkled, continues our Mishnah, who's a dama, if the blood is sprinkled properly on the altar, then at that point we're going to say chayav in olav mishum pigol, that at that point, if the Kohen had when he killed the bird, when he did the Malika on the bird, he had an improper thought. He had a thought to eat it in the wrong place or at the wrong time, and afterwards he sprinkled the blood properly, then if somebody eats from this flesh, an olive-sized portion, he's going to be in violation of the prohibition of Pigel. And so too, once the blood is sprinkled, he's going to also be in violation. He can technically be in violation of Nosar, meaning to say that if the meat is left over beyond the time where one is allowed to eat it, which is one day and night, and then he eats an olive-sized portion, he's going to be liable for Karis because of the prohibition of Nosar. Vitame, meaning to say if somebody is ritually impure, is Tame, and he ate from an olive-sized portion after the blood was sprinkled, then he's going to be liable for kares, because somebody who eats from the sacred offerings when they are tamei is going to be liable for kares. And also ein b'me'ila, that if a person will benefit from this after the blood was sprinkled, he's not going to be liable for me'ila. And this is the laws. This is a general principle about the law of the me'ila, because once the meat was permitted to be eaten to the kohanim, the laws of me'ila no longer apply, because the Torah says about me'ila in Leviticus chapter 5 verse 15, nefesh kisim ol ma'al v'chata'ah V'chata'a b'shkaga mikodshei Hashem. It says a person who has trespassed and has sinned, v'chata'a mikodshei Hashem, from the sacred offerings of God. So it has to be kodshim that is miuchadim only for Hashem, that is designated just for Hashem, and not for something that is permitted also for a person. And so once the blood is sprinkled, the laws of mi'ila no longer apply. So who are the people who bring the chatas ha'of? We know from other principles that the chatas ha'of apply to everybody who has to bring the korban olav yored, who has the variable offering, meaning to say one who took a shvuas edus, one who swore falsely that he didn't know testimony, one who entered the temple in a state of ritual impurity, a woman who gave birth, a mitzora, a zav or a zava, or also a nazir that became tamei. All these fit into the category of chatas ha'of. Why do we begin with this category of chatas ha'of? Why, of all the cases to be discussing, do we start here? So the commentaries explain the reason is because the Mishnah wants to move the chapter wants to move into discussion olas ha'of. And the reason is because the olas ha'of is the law where there is the most possibility of mi'ila, because there is the concept there, nothing there becomes permitted ever to the Kohanim, because the Olas Ha'of is the only offering where even the skin remains prohibited to the Kohanim. Normally by a regular offering, the skin will become the hide will become permitted to the Kohanim, even though the Ola animal is burned. So the Chatas Ha'of is just leading into the Olas Ha'of, which is the most possible Me'ilah.